Let's go to Jude. May we continue? I always forget where we stopped.
25.
No, we didn't. Verse 11. No, no, let's go back to 10. They speak evil of those things which they know not. Remember that word meant that which are, they speak evil of the things that they have no understanding of. But what they know naturally is beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. Now, way is the same way the word is hodos. It means the way. But the way of Cain means that you're doing something for a reward. You're going on a journey, but it's the wrong road. There's a great story in the Talmud that all the ancient rabbis used to be fond of quoting, that when you start out in life, after you've had your bar mitzvah, there's two roads. One road looks straight and pleasant and nice, and the other road, there's huge divots and piles of thorns and mountains and everything you have to climb over. And the question is, which way will you take? Well, the way of God is the thorns and the hardships. The way of Cain is the way of the smooth, what it looks like by the senses. Now, all men will choose the way of Cain, or the way what's his name here? The way of Cain, yeah. So it's the way of Cain right there. Because it's the way of the senses. But fortunately, there's a path off that way where you can get back on the right journey. Now, the word prosper in the New Testament that these health and wealth preachers so often quote, it says, may you prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospereth. The word prosper there means to have a completed journey. It has nothing to do with material wealth. So if I pray or say, and the word says, that you should prosper, it means that you would have the completed journey on the way. Not the way of Cain or the way of Korah, or the way of any of Sodom and Gomorrah, or the way of the angels, or the way of man, or the way of your senses, but that you would have gone on the way. And the only way you can go on the way is for the way to be your life. Is everybody clear on that? So this is a warning to those who have left the way and gone on their way, whether it's the way of Cain or Korah or Sodom and Gomorrah or the angels or any of the other people that are warned about them. So that's the essence of the book of Jude.
The rest of that story, though, that you didn't say, is the road that begins with briars and brambles and thorns and everything. The second half of that road becomes smooth and easy, and the other one's the opposite. It looks good at the beginning and is...
I didn't want to say it was going to get easier.
The point is it's a trick.
Harry's right. The Rabbi Harry is correct, and I am wrong, and I am humbly apologize that I should have left out that. No, I mean it. I should have completed that parable. And I thank Brother Harry for... Can anybody say amen and amen?
I'll just
screw up.
They've gone the way of Cain. The way of Cain we started to talk about yesterday. That's the way of the flesh, the way of the curse, the way of the dirt. Digging around in your earthen vessel trying to figure out a way. Or digging around in somebody else's earthen vessel and trying to figure out a way. Or following another earthen vessel's way. Following dirt is really the way of Cain. What? They've gone on a trip. All of us are on a trip. Do you understand that? Every man in the universe is on a trip. You're born in the world. Egypt is the eternal type of the world. You're trying to get to some place. The place that all men are trying to get to is, at first, it's the land of Goshen, which is the good stuff in the world. Whatever you think is the good stuff, you're trying to get to the land of Goshen. Sometimes a few make it. Most don't. But then the plagues hit. And I don't care if you're Ross Perot or King David or King Solomon, the plagues will hit you. The plagues will reveal all of your eternal idolatry. It'll be the gods of this world that you have accepted as truth. And for those few who see it, then they leave the world in baptism. And they wander about the wilderness until they're shed of the grave clothes of the world. Until finally they reach the promise. Now the mystery, the trick is, the great cosmic mystery is that those that have been called have already completed the journey. And they're just simply waiting for you, for your mind, to agree that you've already completed the journey. And you've already completed the journey because the real you is the way. Does that communicate?
Like there's nothing to work out.
There's no plan. There's nothing to work out. There's nothing. You just sort of hang out. I used to say, love God and have fun.
Kind of like a salmon.
No, not at all like a salmon. That is a very bad analogy, and you should be severely corrected.
Kind of like a salmon.
Why do I enjoy picking on Harry so much?
You notice we have the same shirt on today?
Huh?
We have the same shirt on.
They're not even anything alike.
They look the same to me.
All right, the way of Cain... and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam.
What is that?
Well, you've gotten religion since you were Cain. And now you're going to use the religion for a reward. You're going to get a reward.
Gotcha.
Got that?
Yes.
Prophesied for a reward. He mixed the mystery of God with the world. He prophesied for reward. And perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Perished means he was burnt up. He was toast. What did Korah do? What was the rebellion of Korah? He was swallowed up as a...
told Moses he wasn't the only one that could speak with
him. Right. It's number 16 in case you want to study that. But the point of the most interesting thing about this in terms of Balaam is Balaam led, the sin of Balaam led to the idol worship at what's called Baal Peor. And that's where they were, it was the fornication with the Midianites. And this is this time in which the priest Phinehas became forever There was a plague, a huge plague that was going to wipe out Israel because of the fornication that was going on. And again, that's why Jesus said that if you've thought about it, you've done it. He's not just talking about sex. That's why we have the mind of Christ. You all understand that? And what did Phinehas do? He found a couple copulating, an Israelite with a Midianitish woman. He took out his sword and he, or his spear, and he thrust it through both of them, the man and the woman, and he lifted up the spear. Then he marched through the camp. And wherever he marched and whoever looked upon that was spared from the plague. Now, that's in Numbers 25, in case anybody's interested. Numbers 24 was about Balaam. Now, even Balaam did something good. He prophesied of the star that was coming out of Jacob. He prophesied of Messiah. But he led a whole bunch of people astray. Now that sword became the symbol of power for the nation of Israel. That spearhead became the symbol of power for the nation of Israel. All the kings of Israel from that time forward carried that spearhead to remind them of the fate of those who commit fornication or go after, really, who it remind them for at the start who followed God for a reward, which was what led to the Baal Peor thing. Does everybody understand? And I could tell you all kinds of legends about the spear, but we don't want to do that now. But the point of it is, and the essence of all this is, and the lesson of Jude, and the lesson of Peter, that we, 2 Peter that we studied, was that your lot is to be content in whatsoever state you find yourself. In order to do that, you have to learn to be contented with abundance. You have to learn to be contented with lack. And I'm talking about not just money or things, but whether it's anything. But the idea of pushing always the envelope to the edge of everything until you find out that you are content in anything. Now that's the mystery of discipleship. But you cannot allow your mind to live in the what-ifs or if-onlys for the future and regrets for the past. Because then you will not be transfigured by the renewing of your mind, because either a what if or an if only or a regret will keep your mind anchored in the kingdom of darkness. So the lesson of everything we've studied, whether it's Cain, the angel, Sodom and Gomorrah, Korah, the rebellion and the consequences of that rebellion and the thousands upon thousands of people that died because of that rebellion, all those people died, if you believe what Paul said, for your sake, so that you can see the consequences of your own internal rebellion. Everything that happened in this Bible happened for your sake.
With that being the arena, it's then really clear what the parable of those two roads means. You can know that by experience.
Right. Now, nobody is super spiritual. Nobody's going to take the road that looks hard and rough, and that would be stupid. Until you've reached a point where you know that the road that looks good is always an illusion. So your course of thinking or your course of action is always defining where you are spiritually. Until you finally come to the place where you can totally abandon self You take no thought about the road. You take no thought about the self. You take no thought about, nothing with regards to you, because you know that Jesus Christ is your life, and He is the way and the road. He is the life. And so you just sort of hang around. But the transformation has to take place, not externally. That's meaningless to God. It has to be the internal transformation. That's why I say to you always that your questions and your stupid additions to the story are just as important as the truth is. Is Harry shaking his head? Why did I do that?
Oh. It's an example of the brambles and briars.
What?
My road.
Oh, you're wild. I'm the brambles and briars on your road. Look. Bojo has a shirt just like you. Do you understand the simplicity of the gospel? Watch out. Wade is gearing up to say something. No? Somebody disagree with me. I want to. Harry? Oh. Bojo? Archangel. Come on, I want to fight with the archangel.
There's a review in the paper, a column in the paper this morning about the Passion. This one I'm thinking of, the guy talks about what he sees in the movie is that what's going on outside of Jesus is just, set dressing. That the real story is what's going, and what's presented is what's going on inside of Jesus, the battle.
And he completed it.
Yeah.
All right. So woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. By the way, woe. I like woe. Woe is the word why. O-U-A-I. Only vowels. So next time you scream, you're saying woe. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. And they're talking about all those false teachers. These are spots in your feasts of charity, your agape feast, again, which every Christian celebrated weekly as a mini Passover. These are spots. Now, the word spots is different than the word we normally see, which is the blemish, where the flesh has touched the garment of his righteousness. This is a far more dangerous word for spot. It means that there is a huge rock hidden beneath the water, that without the proper guidance, the ship will hit and sink. And it's talking about the safety of the church or this group itself, whatever group this is. You understand? So the way of Cain, the way of, and what was it, Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed not because of some comic book thing, but they were destroyed because they didn't care for the poor. The way of Cain, the way of Korah, the way of Balaam, all led to a place in which, from the standpoint of any particular group, all of those are the ways that lead to the ship sinking. That doesn't mean that individuals within the ship won't be saved. And go to another ship. But one of the metaphors for each body is a ship. So the idea that anyone would permit the preaching of this garbage the justifying of not feeding them and caring for the poor, that you can gain from God stuff. The gain is godliness. And all the other warnings that are contained herein. It's dangerous. Anybody else see that? These are spots in your feasts of charity. The word is spilos, and this is from the Odyssey. The waves dash the ship against the spilos, the hidden rocks. These men started out as mere blots, or where their garment was spotted by the flesh, but now there are elements of a danger and wreck. And the fellowship meal, what we call the Seder. Everybody thinks we're weird because we do that. But remember that no building, no structure was ever called the church, a church, until the 4th century. And no meetings were ever held in a church until the 4th century. They met in the homes, and the agape feasts were in the homes. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. I'm gonna bank some time. That's a good place to stop. The next part may take a little while. Anybody have any thoughts? Remember, the mystery is contentment. The reason that Gary hurt his back is because of ideas. I didn't say that. Anybody that says I said that, but it's on tape, so I have to say that I said that. I don't.
It's going to be an 18-minute gap.
It's an 18-second gap in this tape. Do you understand the simplicity of this mystery of God? The wonderfulness of it? How easily you can be seduced away from it? What? Was that a grimace or a smile?
It was a grimace, but I was thinking about the spots thing. Where I grew up, there's two rivers that come together at a right angle and head out to the sea. And because of the current, the way the current goes, on one side of the right angle, there's erosion of the land. So 300 years ago, the Dutch put a bunch of rocks under the water. And there's a marker there that lets you know, if you pay attention to what you're doing, that you go what looks like the long way around this hazard to navigation. And we used to sit there fishing, and we'd watch the drunks come by in their speedboats and try to take the shortcut and just rip the bottom right out of the boat.
My sheep hear my voice, and another will they not follow.
What did you say about the Odyssey? Did you say that the word spots came from the Odyssey?
It was used in the Odyssey.
It was used in the Odyssey?
As an example of the ship battered against the rocks. I can give you the exact.
It's a big shock to be shooting along with 30-40
miles an hour, and suddenly at the bottom rip that you're putting. Walking on that. It's a big ship. How come you ask me for that? It took me 4 hours to find it.
Odyssey, chapter 3, page, book 3, page 298. The waves dash the ship against the hidden rocks. The Spiladison. The Spilas.
He was vice president, wasn't he?
Oh, deliver me from this place.
And lose the last 5 minutes of the whole thing. Oh, yeah.
Nobody have anything else? Take it, big guy.